When we have a renowned speaker such as Pesach Grom come and address us, really doesn't need an introduction. I'm almost uncomfortable introducing him. So I'll begin just on a small little personal note. I don't really remember him from when I was 8 days old, but I do remember when I was growing up, this book came out, The Maggid Speaks. And art school wasn't as big back then. It was first growing. I read through the book so many times. Those stories inspired me so much. And it wasn't just me. I had many chaverim like that. And it really changed our lives. Reb Kron has the unique ability as a Talmud Chacham and a pretty talented storyteller to mix those two components together to inspire people. He's been doing this for many years. We have a special schuss today to hear from Rabbi Pesach Kron.
It is such a great personal thrill for me to be able to be here and to speak in this Heilige Yeshiva that is a branch of Chavetz Chaim. I must tell you that when I was younger than all of you, I grew up in Williamsburg, and the place where my father, Olav Shalom, davened was 135 South 9th Street, which was the Yeshiva of Chavetz Chaim in Williamsburg. In those days, I remember Rav Henoch was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Henoch didn't even have a beard at that time, and I could relate to that. And I remember as the Yeshiva grew and eventually came to Forest Hills, one of the reasons that they came to Forest Hills was because my father was very close to Rav Henoch, and Rav Henoch wanted to get out of Brooklyn, wanted to get out of Williamsburg, and my father showed him that Forest Hills would be a great place. And of course, many of the Rebbeim here learned in Forest Hills and eventually came to Kew Garden Hills. And as I grew older and I became a Mayel, over the years, I had this chus, without exaggeration, to do between 50 and 100 brisin in the yeshiva where Rav Henoch was the sandik. Sandik, of course, is the most important honor. That's the one who holds the baby during the bris. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that when you choose a mayel, when you choose a sandik, the sandik is the one that's supposed to be the tzaddik. The mayel has to be capable. It doesn't say that the mayel has to be a tzaddik, but the sandik is a holy person. And I will never, ever forget this. Every single time, without fail, every single time that Rav Henoch was sandik, right when the baby was on his lap, and I would be just about ready to start the bris, he would call over the father. And this happened over 75 times for sure. And he said to the father, I give you a bracha that your son should be a Marbitz Torah. That was the greatest bracha that the Rosh Yeshiva was able to give. That the person, this child, should be a Marbitz Torah. And as he got older and he was getting a drop forgetful, and I realized that he wasn't saying it to the father, I would call the father over before I started the bris. And I said to him, ask the Rosh Yeshiva for a bracha. And then the Rosh Yeshiva would say, your son should be a Marbitz Torah. And so when I come here, and I spoke to Rabbi Palgan before I came here, I spoke to Rabbi Brigida as I was outside, and of course I spoke to Rabbi Dreyfus many, many times before I came here. I see the fruition of the brachas that the Rosh Yeshiva had. To him, the greatest thing that a Yid could do was to teach Torah to others. And over the years, that's what Chavetz Chaim stands for. And you could be so proud of being part of this yeshiva, because probably you're going to marry the sister of the guy sitting next to you. Because, I don't know if that's good or bad, but whatever. In Chavetz Chaim, it's very tight. It's very tight. It's all okay, the guy behind you, not the guy sitting next to you. Okay. But Chavetz Chaim, shh. Okay. But Chavetz Chaim is really one big family. And I can tell you, in the last year, once COVID kind of finished, I had this chus to be in Houston, I had this chus to be in Las Vegas, had the schus to be in Phoenix, and you see the love that the Talmidim of Chavetz Chaim branches have, whether it's Rochester, wherever. And every year before Rosh Hashanah, I take a group of about, I don't know, 50 to 100 people, and we go to the Kivrei Tzadikim, which is in Brooklyn, right on the border of Brooklyn and Queens, and I'm telling the Rosh Hashivas here, if you ever bring the guys before Elul to New York, we'll go together to the Kvarim of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Palm, and Rav Henach. And Rav Henach is from the most moving, because all of you, or certainly many of you, know that he never had any children. And all of you are his children. All the Talmidim and all the branches are the children of Rav Henach. And I could just give you a bracha that all of you, just like Rabbi Yachnes, who's a shtickle cousin of mine, who teaches younger children, but it's in the blood of a Chavetz Chaim Talmud to feel an achrayus for Klal Yisrael. And that's really what we came to talk about. We came to talk about how a Yid should react during Sfira, and how he should feel an achrayus, not only to himself, but to everybody else in Klal Yisrael. So I want to tell you a very interesting story that happened in 1903. In Poland, the greatest amount of Hasidim were Ger Hasidim. And in 1903, the second Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, passed away. Rachmana Litzlan, he passed away at a very young age. He was only 56. But at his Levaya, something happened. A conversation happened between his two sons that will give us a perspective for the rest of our lives. The Sfas Emes was about to be buried, and his son, who would then become the third Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, said to his brother, Rabbi Tzalo, at least our father had Arichas Yomim. So Rabbi Tzalo said to his older brother, who was going to be the next Rebbe, what are you talking about? Our father didn't have Arichas Yomim. Arichas Yomim means length of days. He only lived to be 56. So listen to what the Imre Emes said. He said, I didn't say that our father had Arichas Shonim, that he had length of years. I said that our father had Arichas Yomim, length of days. No one in this room, nobody watching this presentation, and nobody in the whole universe can guarantee for themselves Arichas Shonim. Nobody knows what tomorrow brings. But every single person in this Beis Medrash, every one of us, can guarantee for ourselves Arichas Yomim. Arichas Shonim means a guy lives 80, 90, 100. It's not in your hands. It's in Hashem's hands. But Arichas Yomim, oh, that each one of us. Length of days, making the most out of every day. That we can guarantee for ourselves. If we have the right focus of what we should do with our lives. So when we come together in days of Sfira, it's not just a question of counting the days, but it's a question of making every day count. And when you make every day count, that's how you have Arichas Yomim. So how does a Yid make every day count? How is it so special? So I'll tell you something amazing. You know, the Bnei Yisoscha asks a very interesting question. He says, why is Sfira 49 days? Where does that come from? Why Dafka 49? Why not 39, 59, 79, 29? And he gives a fabulous answer. And he says like this, the Mishnah in Ovis, Perek Beis, Mishnah Test, tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his Talmidim, he said, what is the best midah that a Yid should have? If I were to ask all of you guys, anybody want to raise their hand and tell me what is the best midah that a Yid should have? Anybody have an idea, a guess? Hear what he's saying? I'm sorry? Yiras Hashem is a good answer. Anybody get what? How do you know that? Because that's what you have, right? So the answer is Leiv Toiv. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he heard that from his Talmud, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, he said that's the right answer. Because if you have a Leiv Toiv, then you're going to have what all the other Talmudim said. One guy said, one of the Tanoim said, a good eye. Another one said, be a good friend. Another one said, be a good neighbor. But a Lev Toiv has all these three things. And listen what the B'nai Yisachar says. Lev is Begamatria, how much? 32. How much is Toiv Begamatria? 17. 32 and 17 is 49. And he said, that's the reason that Sphira is 49. Because the Avodah of all of us during this period of time of 49 days is to become a Lev Toiv. As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting Rabbeinu Bechaya. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says in Emor that Pesach is not a Yontif by itself. It's the beginning until Shavuos. And he says all the days between Pesach and Shavuos are considered Chol HaMoed. Because we have to work on ourselves. We have to work on ourselves from Pesach until Shavuos to get that Lev Toiv and to get one more thing. You know, the Sefer Avos Chesed writes, the Chofetz Chaim, and he writes in Perek Yud Beis, Uma'oid, it's so important. Tzorich lizor shalayech salay midas ha-chesed afilo yoyim echad mimei chayav. A guy shouldn't go by, from today on, every one of us, should do a favor for another yid. And when I speak to adults, I say, I'm not talking a husband to a wife to a husband. That they got to do if they know what's good for them. But I'm talking about out of the house. And every one of us here should do a chesed every single day. And then the Chofetz Chaim adds something. Just like a person should do chesed every day, he should be kaveya itim latayra every day. Now, of course, all you guys are learning. You come here every day. But even on Shabbos, or even when you're on vacation, there's no such thing for the rest of your life that you don't learn something every day in Torah. Whether it's Musar, whether it's Halacha, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Chumash, whether it's Tanakh, whatever it is. So I want to share with you a story or two. What does it mean to have a Lev Toiv? And as you will see from these stories, the common denominator of these stories is that a guy who has a Lev Toiv is not thinking about himself. He's thinking about other people. And that's what the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and the Hagdama, his son writes, Rabbi Tzela, he writes, my father used to tell me these three words, and we have to put them up on a bulletin board. Loi la'atzmoi nivra. You are not created for yourself. Every single bacher here has certain talents. I don't have to be like you, you don't have to be like me, and both of us don't have to be like him. But every one of us has talents. And Hashem didn't give you the talents that you should become rich and famous. Hashem gave you the talent, lahoyil l'achrini, to help other people. So listen to this story, and you'll see what does it mean to care about other people. So I have a cousin, his name is Tzvi Tress. His father was Elimelech Tress, who was the head of Agudas Yisrael for many, many years in New York. And Tzvi Tress, who lived in Toronto, a tremendous Askan, a while ago, bought a house in Miami, and he's in between Miami and Toronto. And one day, he was davening in a shul in Miami, and he had his talis bag right on the table. And a Safan Chosid with long curly payas, upturned hat, a bekesha, you know, just like me, whatever. And he goes over and he sees the talis bag. And he says to him in Yiddish, Dihei Stress? Your name is Tress? He said, yeah. So the Safan guy said, you ever heard of Elimelech Tress? He said, yeah, that was my father. And this Satma guy stops and he starts crying. And my cousin Tzvi said to him, you knew my father? He said, I want to tell you a story about your father. He said, 50 years ago, I was a young man. I came to Williamsburg from Europe. It was after the war. I had a wife and two kids. I was so poor. There were no jobs. And I came to Satmar because I'm a Satma Chassid. And I said to the guys, please, I need a job. And nobody had a job for me. Satmar wasn't as big as it is today. And they said to me, you know, why don't you go to the Aguda office that's a few blocks away? There's a guy there, Mike Tress, Elimelech Tress. And, you know, he likes to help people. Maybe he could help you. So the Satmar guy said, listen, I'm Satmar. I'm going to go to Aguda. You know, Satmar and Aguda have different political opinions. He said, I'm not going there. Besides, he doesn't have a beard. Look at me, I have a beard and payas or whatever. He's not going to help me. He said, I'm telling you, go. So he said, for 2 weeks, I didn't go. But then I didn't have food for Shabbos, for my wife and kids. I went. I come into the office in the Aguda and your father meets me. First thing he says, how can I help you? And he was so friendly. I said to him, look, I need a job. I'm not an aguda person, I'm Satmar, but I don't have food for Shabbos on my table. So your father said to me, what do? Are you good at anything? He said, I'm a glazier. I know how to make glass. I put it in windows or in doors, wherever they need it. He said, I can't believe it. There's a glazier a few blocks away from me. I just happened to hear that he needs somebody to work for him. So here, take this note, give it to him. I'm telling you, you're going to get a job right away. I took the note. I went to the guy. He reads the note. And he says, you know, you're right. I do need somebody. And he hired me on the spot. And that Friday, he paid me. I couldn't believe it. I was able to go to a grocery store and I got food for Shabbos. And the second week and the third, every Friday he paid me on time. I felt like a human being. Because a guy who doesn't have a job, a guy who doesn't have money, can't put food on the table. He feels so low about himself. He said, listen to this. 2 months after I was at that job, my boss comes over to me and he says, I want you to go to Mike Tress and tell him he doesn't have to pay me anymore for your salary. From now on, I'm going to pay you myself because you're a great worker. Could you imagine? That's what Mike Tress wrote on the note. He didn't know this guy from a hole in the wall. But he knew it's a yid who needs a job. So he wrote this fellow, hire this guy, tell him you need him, and I'll pay his salary as long as he stays by you. Don't ever tell him that I'm giving you the money. And for 2 months, that's what he did. And that's a Lev Tov. That's somebody who's thinking about somebody else. And that has to be our mindset. When we're counting Sfira, the 49 days, Rabbeinu Bechaya tells us, as we said, it's like Chol HaMoed. We have to work on ourselves. We have to work on ourselves to be a Baal Chesed. And I'll tell you another delightful story that happened in a Sfardish shul in Yerushalayim. There's a Rav there who gives a shir every morning at 6:30, the 15 Balabatim, and 7:15, they come in and they daven. But they're in the Beis Medrash, they learn for 3/4 hour, and then they start davening. There's one Sfardi guy there who's not a bucky in learning, he doesn't understand much, but he's got a great heart. And he appreciates that these guys come to learn every day. So he said to the guys, look, whatever you want coffee or tea, I'll get it for you. I'm in the kitchen, I'll be happy to bring it in, and he's got a whole list. This guy wants coffee, caffeinated coffee, decaffeinated coffee, with milk, without milk. And then there comes the guys with the tea, they want herbal tea, and this guy comes from England, so he wants tea and milk, or whatever. Everybody's got different things. And he brings it in every day. But he only gives everybody a half a cup of tea, half a cup of coffee. And they tell him, Rav Yid, if you're giving us already, why don't you give us a full cup? Don't ask any questions. I'm only giving you a half a cup. I'm in the kitchen, right outside the basement. You want more? It's no problem. I'll be happy to give it to you. So, fine. Every day people complained, but he always gave them whenever they wanted more, but he only started with a half a cup. One day he woke up, he wasn't feeling well. So he goes into his son's room, who usually davened in another shul. He said, listen, could you do me a favor? I'm not feeling well. These 15 guys have come to learn. They really deserve their coffee and tea. And maybe you could bring it to them. I'll give you the whole chart. And the kid said, Abba, yeah, of course I'll go for you. It's no problem. So what happens is the kid takes the chart and he sets up all the coffee and all the tea. And just as he's about to walk into the Reish Medrash, he sees his father. He said, Abba, what are you doing here? I thought you don't feel well. He said, I don't feel well, but I forgot to tell you something. He said, what'd you forget to tell me? He said, I forgot to tell you, only a half a cup. Don't give anybody a full cup. He said, Abba, what are you doing? Don't they want a full cup? He said, yeah, of course they all want a full cup. But that's the policy. He said, why? He said, I'll tell you, but don't tell anybody. Listen to what he said. He said, there are two people in that shul. They're very old, and their hands shake terribly. If I would give everybody a full cup or tea or coffee, these two people, their hands would shake so much, it would go all over the Gemara, go over their clothes and everybody else's clothes. They would be so embarrassed. Like this, I give everybody a half a cup. Nobody knows why. They could shake from today till tomorrow. Nobody's going to feel bad. Nobody's going to be embarrassed. And if I give everybody a full cup and give them a half a cup, they're going to feel bad because they realize there's something wrong with them. That's called a Lev Tov. Not thinking about yourself. You have to measure a half a cup for 15 different people? Give everybody a full cup? No. Because two people might be embarrassed. And that's what a Lev Tov is all about. But we said that as we're preparing, the Chofetz Chaim is telling us two things. Not only do a chesed every day, but also make sure that you convey Itamar Torah. So I want to tell you a great story that it's hard to believe this story, but Rav Shlomo Freifeld said this over in Shmuzin, and it's in the book called In Search of Greatness, which if you can get a hold of it, it's worth to read. Listen to this story that Rav Freifeld tells us. Every Bachar should remember this story forever. When he was a young man, he decided to go to Eretz Yisrael and to meet with the Chazon Ish, who was the Gadol HaDor. In the early 1950s, there were two Gedolei HaDor in Eretz Yisrael that everybody went to and everybody was so in awe of, the Chazon Ish and Rav Elva Soloveitchik. And I'll tell you a little story, which has nothing to do with anything, but I'm so embarrassed to tell it to you. And it's amazing. In the early 1950s, when the Chazon Ish died, I was very young. I wasn't even 10 years old yet. And I was in Tervadas, and they announced that the Chazon Ish died, and everybody, all the classes, had to come into the big Beis Medrash, and it was going to be a speech. And I turned to somebody, I said, what's the big deal if a Chazon died? Who is this Chazon? I never heard of the Chazon Ish. I thought it was a Chazon died. The whole Beis Medrash had to come, the whole older classes, because a Chazon died. Of course, as I got older, I realized, you know, who the Chazon Ish was. But anyway, he went to Chazon Ish. He said, I had a whole list of questions I was going to ask the Gadol HaDor, right? He said, when I got in there, I got like lockjaw. I couldn't talk. I was so intimidated to be in front of the Gadol HaDor. I couldn't say a word. Now listen to what he said. He said, I didn't say a word. I couldn't. But the Chazon Ish spoke to me. And listen what the Chazon Ish said. The Chazon Ish said that the Gedolim in previous generations were not geniuses. And then he mentioned three names. It's so shocking to me, the three names, because all the Rebbeim and all the Talmid HaChachamim will not be able to believe that the Chazon Ish said these three people were not geniuses. And yet they became the Gedolei HaDor. One was the Netziv, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. The other one was Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, the Kovner Rav. And the third one is so shocking that you can't believe this, that it wasn't a genius, the Ketzos HaChayshan. The Ketzos HaChayshan, those of you who Mitzvah Shem will be in high levels of Beis Medrash, you learn the Ketzos HaChayshan. Anybody would say he's a genius. Chazon Ish said, no, he wasn't a genius. And Rav Freifeld writes, and you should try to remember this. He said, you want to become great in Torah? You don't have to be a genius. You got to have the four D's. Desire, dedication, drive, and determination. And I want to repeat that. Desire, dedication, drive, and determination. And the reason that I'm telling it to you, because there's a lot of Bachrim here, just like me when I was in high school in the Beis Medrash. You saw other kids that remember the Gemara so well. They remember the Tosfos so well, and you can't even remember what Tosfos or what daf was on. And you're not getting hundreds. You're getting 70s or 75s, and you think, how in the world am I ever going to be a Talmud Chacham? Look at these guys. They're the ones that are going to be great. And you know what the answer is? It's not true. Every one of you could be great in Torah. Who cares what mark you get? It makes no difference. I don't care what the Rebbeim say. The marks don't mean a thing. What it means, if you have that drive and determination, you're going to be great. And a lot of the kids who are getting the hundreds, that's because they got a genius mind. Doesn't mean they're going to be geniuses and remember everything and be Talmid Chachamim when they become 25 and 30. It's those kids who really believe in what they're doing and are going to do it with drive, and that you're going to be the great ones. And I'm telling you, every kid in this Beis Medrash can be great. There's three things you got to believe in. Just remember this. The Tzidkas HaTzadik says this. You have to believe in Torah. You have to believe in Hashem. I have to believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself, you're going to be great. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know this for sure, but I could bet that the Rebbeim here, when they were in high school, they were not necessarily the ones that got the highest marks. But every single one of the Rebbeim, including the Rosh Yeshiva, they were determined to be like Reb Penach. They were determined to be like the Alter von Slabodka. Because, you know, I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but one of my favorite Midrashim that the Alter von Slabodka always said, and Rav Huttner translated so great. It says, Vayar Elokim es kol asher osa v'hinei toiv ma'oida. At the end of 6 days of creation, Hashem saw that it was very good. And the Medrash is so confounding, so puzzling. The Medrash says, Ma'oid is Adam. Aleph Dalet Mem, Mem Aleph Dalet. So for that you need a Medrash? Every kid in the fifth grade, you ask him, switch around the words of Ma'oid, what are you going to come up with? Of course, they'll say Adam. And Rav Huttner explains what the godless of the Medrash is. He says, everything in this world can be measured. The distance from here to the sun can be measured. The distance from here to the bottom of the ocean can be measured. There's only one thing that can't be measured. And that's the potential of man. Every one of us can be Ma'oid. Because every one of us is Adam. Never, ever underestimate what you could do. No matter where you are in the class, if you're sitting in the back, and I can tell you, all the Rebbeim here can tell you, if you look back at your high school class, and you think about those kids who everybody thought was going to be the most successful, it never happens that way. It's that kid who was sitting in the back, that kid who everybody thought was nothing, he had the right Rebbe someplace. He had the right mentor. He had the right role model. I once heard from a Hasidic woman in Borough Park. She's a principal of a Hasidic girls' school. She once told me something fabulous. She said, every child is just one caring adult from being great. Every child is just one caring adult from being great. I never ad-lib. But I want to tell you something. I usually don't say this in public, but this is Chafetz Chaim, so I want to share something from the depths of my heart. The greatest Rebbe that I ever had, ever, was Reb Leibel Chait. I used to learn with my father every night. I never went to a dormitory school. My father and I, we would start learning 10:30 at night, and we had a Seder every night. He was a mile, and he had a lot of calls at night, but at 10:30 we could learn. And we had a great relationship and we learned. But the way I got to love learning and the way I got to feel that learning was so special was only from Rav Leibel Chait. And he always, always gave the credit to Rav David Leibowitz, Rav Hanoch's father. He learned the Chafetz Chaim in Brooklyn. And he said, nobody ever learned Pshat the way Rav David did. And I'm telling you, I know this is hard to believe, but when I would finish learning a Tosfos with Reb Leibel Chait, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I felt like I wanted to do a dance. He made the Tosfos come so alive. And it was fabulous. And he said he got it all from Reb David. And that's really what Chafetz Chaim is all about. I know people make fun that they learn very slow or whatever. I was just at a Siyam HaShas, a guy, Moshe Goldman, I don't know if you know him. He said it took him 22 years because he learned the Chafetz Chaim. But that's not the reason that it took him 22 years. He was learning with Alta Kramer and Dovi Kramer, and he just made a Siyam this past week, and I was there. Just tremendous. But I'm just telling you, you're in the greatest yeshiva in the world, not only this place in Miami, but because the network of Chafetz Chaim feels an achrayus for Klal Yisrael, feels an achrayus for somebody else. Hashem should help that each one of us, we should be zeicha to have arichas yamim. If we have arichas shanim, that's great. That's icing on the cake. But make every day count with Torah and chesed. And be proud of the yeshiva that you're from. Because it's not only your rebbes and your menayel and your rosh yeshivas, but it's doireis, Rab Henoch, Rab David, and the Alter von Slabodka. And that's ma'oid. Just remember, you could all be great. No matter what your marks are, it makes no difference. Just have those four D's. Desire, dedication, drive, and determination. Hashem should bench all of you. The biggest bracha I could ever give anyone is you should be zeicha to fulfill your potential. Because we all have great potential. Have great yontif, and thank you for inviting me. Okay, we're gone.
See you.
Thank you so much. Well, who can believe that? You have to see it in that book, In Search of Greatness. Thank you. Thank you.